Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us on our podcast at Elim Church. Shawna, you're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, and Simon Pinchback. We welcome him so much to be with us again. We're coming on the second half of this one that we was doing earlier on, you know, getting a little bit tongue-tied here, but it's so good to have you with us listening. We welcome Simon as we're going to do another 30, 40 minutes of gassing away, talking about Jesus. It's so good to have you with my friend.
I'm excited to be here, Ben.
It's really good.
And it's great to be sitting across from you, Ben, to be honest with you.
No.
You're a great man of God, a great follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're doing some great stuff here at the church in Elim, Swanley, and you do some great stuff down in the hospice, and you're a top fella. I think that's all you wanted me to say. You wanted
that's
this
it,
one?
Yeah, it's 50 quid. Thanks for that.
You look after pets and,
yeah.
and you can't do animals, you said.
Where can you get me from?
No, but you know, I mean, yeah, Ben, nah. So you know, we've been meeting together for a few years now. We've formed a real friendship. It's a friendship and a fellowship, really.
Yeah, no
Ben.
Curry, yeah. though. Thank God for no curry and no breakfast.
We're
starving, though, aren't we?
Oh,
we've got biscuits.
Yeah, but the invitations are coming in, Ben.
It's so good to have you with us again, you know. We've been chatting earlier on today, and now we're on this second part about just being a man for Christ. We looked at Halloween. We looked at so many things, just gassing away, weren't we? Freemasonry.
Yeah, we was looking at spiritual warfare, weren't we, Ben?
Gosh, and
the battles that are taking place in the heavenly, and what we can do as men, and what armor we've got. Really, we didn't even mention the armor of God, did we?
No, we didn't.
Ephesians 6:10. So we didn't mention that, but we mentioned other stuff when we spoke about Psalm 91 over our lives and being under protection. And really, that. You know, the bottom line is we need to know the word, isn't it?
We need to know the word. I've got to know the word.
Yeah.
There's no other way around that, is there? I've got to know Jesus, you know, and following Christ.
And I think the big thing that came out of the last one, and it really stands by itself on its own, that we're nothing without Jesus Christ.
Say that again.
We're absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But we're everything with him. Yeah.
But without him, and that's where I said earlier that I've realised I've reached that place that I need Jesus so much. I just need Jesus so much every day, every second, every minute. Religion has gone out the window. It's all gone. I just need Jesus. Keep walking with him. Keep this moving. Keep me going, God. Come on, Lord. I need you to reveal yourself.
Yeah.
I need to hear you through the word. I've got to read the word. I've got to be in the scripture. I've got to trust him. Now is the time for living by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's nothing to do with prosperity gospel.
And here's the thing, Ben. You know, we've all had a past.
Yeah.
And we've all got a story. And the thing is...
And we're still living,
yeah. So the thing is, you can never run so far as to outrun your past, because you'll get tired and your past will catch up with you.
Yeah.
So that's really why Jesus said in the Bible, and it's reiterated many times, that we have to be born again.
What does that mean? Come on, tell me.
We have to be born again, which means... Mm-hmm. Jesus, the amazing thing is that by coming to Jesus, accepting Jesus, the past can be forgiven, can be buried, can be taken away, and we can have a new self, a new self in Christ. And so the old man in our lives should be buried, totally.
Gone. Now to the cross, finished, done with. But so often...
But it says in Galatians, you know, I've been crucified by Christ. Yeah. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified by Christ. It's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. But so many times, as men, we carry the old man on our backs.
We certainly do.
Now, let me give you an example. What does that mean? How does that look? We'll be walking along... Born again, spirit filled, something will hit us. And how do we deal with it? Sometimes maybe we'll deal with it as a new man, but 9 times out of 10, we'll take the old man who should have been crucified, and we'll go, old man, deal with that.
Yeah.
Old man comes out, where, and then old man get back.
Yeah.
And then we'll carry on.
So we're switching between the two.
We're switching between the two.
You know, we're living for Jesus, and then something happens, our feathers get ruffled, something goes on, we're straight back to how he was living, almost to a degree, as the disciples said to each other, I'm going fishing. And the other said, oh, we'll come with you. I'm going back to the old way.
It's so easy
to go back to the old way.
And that's the flesh. Because the flesh wants to, we'll never defeat the flesh
In the flesh.
We have to defeat it in the spirit. Let me give you a couple of examples. One example was, you know, when I first came to faith, I spent 9 or 10 years at Holy Trinity Brompton, HTB, was my church.
It's about 10 years.
Yeah. And I did lots of amazing things there, was involved in the Alphas there.
Fantastic.
Prison ministry, I was involved with some great stuff. And when I first went there, the vicar of the church was a lovely guy called Sandy Miller. And Sandy, when he preached, it wasn't a Sunday, I wouldn't come out and listen. I was a big fella, done this, that, and the other, but I'd be in tears. And Sandy'd always stand at the back of the church and he'd shake your hand as you went by. I couldn't even get a word out of him. I was choked, because of this man, the countenance, the God that was shining out of him, the Jesus was shining out of him. I couldn't get a word out. All I could do was shake his hand. There was tears running down my face. I get in my car, drive up to Hyde Park Corner. Somebody had cut me up. Wow, lost me peace. The old man's come back and everything's gone wonky. And I was I'm spending the rest of the time, Lord, forgive me. So those things happen. And that was as a youngish Christian.
Yeah.
But even now, I'll give you a little example. The other day, I was driving up to Braintree, near where I live, and someone coming in to the road on the junction. It's a dual carriageway, the 120, if anyone knows it. I couldn't get out of the way, and these people wanted me to get out of the way, and so they shot in front of me, shot out, and all of a sudden the passenger is leaning out the window, calling me all sorts of not very nice names.
Oh.
So the first thing I reacted was, I'm going to catch up with this fella. I put my foot down on the accelerator, going to catch up with him.
Were you going to pray for him?
Well, I was probably going to tell him about Jesus. You know that? But my turn off was coming off, and I thought I could follow this. Pride in my heart, the old man wanted to say, I'll follow this guy, and I'm going to
give him the gospel.
Yeah, give him the gospel because he needs it. But my turning's coming up, so hold on. Took my turning, but the old man rose up, and the deal is we keep short accounts with the Lord. So the Bible tells us that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So he will be going backwards and forwards to God, saying, "Did you see what Ben did? Did you see that?
Have you seen that?
If you hadn't confessed it and asked for forgiveness. If you confessed it, then the Lord will look down and go, I see no sin on Ben."
It's confession.
He's confessed it. It's out of the way.
Out
it's
of
clean.
Repentance.
But if you haven't confessed it, it's sitting there.
It's sitting there festering.
Then God looks down and says, "Yeah, I can see what you're saying." And then it goes a different way. But the Bible makes it clear, Ben, that we must be born again. John 3:3 says, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You will not enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again."
Praise God.
And Nicodemus got all a bit...
threw him.
Yeah, threw him off his record. Yeah, yeah. He said, "What do I can't crawl inside my mother's womb," he said, didn't he?
You know, what am I going to do?
Born again.
Yeah.
And 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a great scripture because it says that we are a new creation.
Praise God.
We are a new creation.
Yeah.
And I love this in Colossians. I'm going to read this out.
Come on.
It's in Colossians 3. It starts off and it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above." Seek the things which are above.
Seek.
"Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So not only are we born again, but we've got to be seeking the things constantly.
Yeah.
You set your mind on things above and not on the things on earth.
Not on earthly things.
See, here it says this. See, Paul says this. He says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
I love that. Hidden.
It's hidden. Your old life is hidden in Christ.
Hidden in Christ. In Christ. Not on the outside, but hidden in him.
So he's taken it.
He's taken it. It's gone.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. What a promise.
Wow.
It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So all them things was what the old man was driven by.
Yeah.
Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
Oh, God help us.
Now, if you just skate over that.
Yeah.
It's to your peril. Because the wrath of God. Do you really want that?
No, God.
Because hold on a minute. Ben, God's a loving God, isn't he? He sits on a cloud, doesn't he?
Grace has covered everything.
Oh.
He's covered everything.
So where's the wrath come into it? Oh, God, don't get angry, does he?
No, never. Look at that, right in front of us.
In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So we've been called out of that old life.
We've been called out of that. We're new creations in Christ. We're born again, filled with the Spirit of God.
And then he goes on to say, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. That's the old man. We put him off.
Yeah.
And his deeds.
I think we better end this podcast now because it's like, it stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? The
and
scripture stops you.
A new man which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and in all.
Wow. So the question we have, and we might be asking ourselves, why do I still have a struggle with this flesh? Look at that scripture, that beautiful scripture that's been read out. It's been nailed to the cross. It's gone. The old man's gone.
Yeah.
But so often, he can rise up and, like you said about rage, anger, frustration, everything. This flesh man suddenly reveals himself occasionally. So you've got to wrestle. You've got a wrestle going on. God help me.
It's a daily thing.
It's a daily thing.
And that's what Jesus meant when he said, pick up your cross and walk.
Yeah.
Because this is a daily thing we've got to do. And sometimes, Ben, it's even an hourly thing.
Minute by minute thing,
mate.
It's a minute by minute thing. In the world in which we live is so satanic and so oppressive and so heavy and so controlling. It gets your feathers ruffled. You've got things coming across the media. Your eyes see things that you don't really want to engage in. You hear things you don't want to engage in. And it's the world is feeding the flesh. The world is feeding the fleshly man.
It's geared up
to feed the fleshly man.
And this time that we live in is...
Everything is sexualized. Everything is about me, myself, and I.
Everything's about... me, everything's about self, everything is about instant gratification.
Now, you can have it now.
We need it now.
That old strap line, live the dream.
Living the dream.
And rock and roll.
We're living the dream
Living the dream in Swanley. We love Swanley. God is moving through Swanley.
Oh,
thanks
man,
be to God.
You're right. Because why? Because that's how the world judges people.
So everything is to do with notoriety. How isn't it? Even in the world of the church, you go as leaders. You go to different church functions. You go as leaders, and they go. First thing they say is, "How many in your congregation?
How big is your church? Yeah.
How many you got in your church? I ain't got none.
Yeah.
I don't want no one in it.
No.
You know, it's all about number crunching in the church, out of the church. What business have you got? How many people you got working for you? How much money? Where do you live? Postcodes, you know,
so
structure.
What you're talking about there is identity.
Identity.
So, and it's massive. Yeah. Identity is massive because here we are, we've got rid of the old self. which live by identity.
Can I say something? Look, well, I ain't got rid of myself.
I ain't gonna stop you.
I'm fighting myself.
All of us are, because we're all fighting myself in progress. But Ben,
but I don't hear this from the church. I don't hear it. I do in certain areas. Sorry, but I need to apologise a bit about for that. So I do in small areas, but I look across the platform of the church and everything is flag waving and prophetic art going on in the corner. And I'm sitting in the congregation carrying the weight that no one knows. And I just need Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
And you're a church leader.
I'm a church leader sitting in conferences.
You've got to stop that prophetic arc in your church, mate.
You know what? There's no paintbrushes in here, that's for sure. Because if I painted what was really going on in me, it would not be what they want to see, what the world want to see.
Yeah. But so there we are. We have a situation where we're a lot of men are looking for validation.
Yes.
And instead of finding it where, as a Christian man, where you should do, your validation is in Christ.
Yeah.
They're trying to find validation in the platform,
yes,
or what they've done, or who they know,
how well the ministry's growing, how many people in the church, how well the business is going, how much money's in the bank,
all of
what
that
car
stuff.
You drive,
because
you know, what gadgets you got, you know what gadgets, everything is judged by material stuff.
Totally.
By facts and figures and spreadsheets and pie charts.
Spreadsheets, plans, all that stuff.
Road mapping, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going about road mapping our way out as a church.
You've got to raise your profile, you hear that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
gosh,
man.
It's almost exhausting, isn't it? It's exhausting trying to keep up with the world and the worldly church.
Totally.
It's like a Darwinistic approach. You've got to almost trample on whoever you're going to trample on to get to the survival of the fittest. And I also think that ministry has adopted that in certain ways. That's probably going to cause me a bit of trouble. Church has adopted that. It's like survival of the fittest and like a bulldozer effect of like... And then you've got to be careful as well, because when you go to other leaders and they start talking, they're talking about themselves all the time. You've got to be so careful about self... You hear people talking about themselves, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, or I've got this under me, and I've got these, and we've got this amount of people, and we got. And
what I say, Ben, is this. What I say is, look where the signpost is pointing to in your life.
Yeah.
If the signpost is pointing to Jesus and then to the Father, you're on the right track.
You're on the right track.
But as soon as that signpost starts to point back to you, and we hear more I... than we or anything else, then really we're talking about the signpost not pointing to Jesus, and we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And we're in big trouble.
We're in big trouble spiritually in the UK. But we are and we're not, aren't we? So we've got to be careful how we lay that out there. We know where we sit biblically, where we're in the time, we get all that, so there is a lot of spiritual warfare. But as a man in Christ, everything is visual, sensual perception. Everything is gauged by what we have materially, what we have business-wise, what our CV looks like.
So
our postcode.
I guess there's an element of judgmentalness in there you know, going on there.
Yeah, definitely. So,
and just how we were saying, and we had a discussion, we won't go into it, but we had a discussion in the break, it's what it looks like on the outside.
Yeah.
Because what could be going on behind closed doors may be not the same as what you're portraying.
Exactly.
On the outside.
Yeah.
So all this new man in Christ, a lot of it, people are saying it, but not living it.
Comes down to surrender.
It's exactly what we were saying before. And it comes down to the cross. It comes down to surrender. It comes down to total
submission.
Submission to Jesus Christ, and realizing that we are nothing without Jesus.
So when I come to Christ and I realize I pick up my cross and I follow Him, and He's nailed everything to the cross. The scriptures have been fulfilled. I'm born again, filled with the Spirit of God. And then I am a new creation in him. I'm born again, what we've been saying and what you just read out of the Word of God. Then my life begins in Christ. But then suddenly I become spiritually alert. I become spiritually alert. So where I might have been living with no spiritual understanding of what's going on, now I am a believer, and suddenly I am following this Jesus. I ruffle the feathers of the enemy, and the enemy pulls on the old man.
Yeah.
The enemy pulls on the old man. Satan pulls on the old man. He comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. So what he won't touch anybody that's not a believer. Because you're in his realm. But as soon as someone becomes a believer in Christ, now, this is what we got to make sure of, is that when I'm in religion, I'm not in Jesus. When I'm born again, filled with the Spirit. So then I look at Christ. Christ becomes my model. What happened to Christ? Did he have an easy run? No, he didn't have an easy run.
Yeah, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll get into the red stuff. You read all about him and see the way he lived his life. And it's really, we addressed that in one of the other podcasts. Who is Jesus?
Who is Jesus?
So you're following him. This guy was the toughest guy that ever lived. He was the strongest man that ever lived. Yet he didn't shy away from confrontation, and he dealt with it.
He was persecuted.
He didn't deal with it in the flesh.
No.
He dealt with it all in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
And that is the way that we have to try. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, you know, the Lord accepts we're trying to do that.
Yeah.
But we have to try. We cannot, you know, okay whether or not you believe, once saved, always saved. But we believe that if you have made that decision for Christ, and that you've buried your old man or attempted to bury the old man, we believe that you're trying with every step. You'll not always succeed, but the big deal is between the old man and the new man is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which will tell you now that you're doing something wrong. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're listening to the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And it's your choice then, Ben, whether you carry on.
Yeah.
And the Bible, and our Father is so amazing that he said there will be temptation, but it won't be more than you can bear, and they'll always offer you a way out. Your choice.
Do I take the choice to get the way out?
Yeah.
What do I do? And then, so we're living in a world which is all about self.
Yeah.
All about self, lifting up self. And then suddenly I become a Jesus follower and I've got to lay everything down. So we might go all the way through our life, because there could be guys listening to this thinking, well, do you know what? I do believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I'm struggling living.
Yeah.
I can't shake this. I can't shake it off.
And a lot of that is to do with the company you keep.
Yeah.
And so when you accept Jesus and you take, you accept this amazing, amazing gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift of salvation.
Yeah.
And grace
through faith. Do you think that there could be certain areas of our lives that we will always be wrestling with? Do you think that there could be certain things that like, you know, when he prayed in the New Testament, he said, I'm coming to you right now. I'm paraphrasing. He said, please. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to remove whatever that was. But then God just gave him that word back. My grace is sufficient for you.
There'll always be areas,
because we've got to make sure that we get this really clear to the guys listening. There will always be areas. Like, I might be able to get one area cleaned and tidied, but there is another pull of my life that is the lusts of the flesh. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh.
Now, we
don't need to go right into the world of, not everything's not sexualized in our lives. It's just the draw of the flesh.
The draw of the flesh.
That could take many ways. And so, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
It's weak, yeah.
So I've got
totally.
To fight. I've got to fight
it's
all day.
A fight.
So
it's a battle.
It's a battle. So it's not always cups of tea and slices of cake and rose petals, is it?
No.
We'll go through this life as a man, wrestling with ourselves.
And here's the thing, what our Father doesn't want us to do, he doesn't want us to feel guilty all the time.
That's a big thing, guilt, isn't it?
It's huge.
It's a big thing
it's
to deal with,
for
the
men.
Guilt. Forgiveness as well.
So, yeah, and forgiveness, that's a massive one. For a man, someone who's hurt you, probably maybe even ripped you off in a deal, a friend who's said a wrong word, a family member who's had you over or trying to take your legs out. Yeah.
There's so many areas, isn't there?
How do we deal with that as a Christian man? There is forgiveness, and the Bible says, we have to pray for these people as well. Yeah, it does say in the Bible that we bring burning coals on their head, don't
we? You got a Bible, haven't you? Yeah. That's really advisable for everyone to get a Bible, not just on electronic form, but, paperback, it is, when you're talking about that scripture about where it says, it's not our place to repay, it's our place to love. It's our place to forgive. It's our place, to bring everyone. So when we're dealing with this stuff and someone's coming at us relentless, we might be in a work environment where someone is coming relentlessly at us. Just because we're born again and filled with the Spirit of God and we're a new man in Christ, we might go into work Monday morning, been saved Sunday, or suddenly recommitting ourselves to Christ and really, really going, do you know what, Jesus, this is the moment. How many times have men said that?
Yeah.
This is it. I'm never going to go back to that old stuff. Get back into work Monday, get back into the corporate world, and then suddenly someone says something to you, you read an email, you got a text, and then suddenly you're battling this
old
man.
Man's rising
you're
up
trying
again.
To push him down. And so there's always a battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. So now I start to live by faith.
That's a huge thing that you said there. The battle belongs to the Lord, and it's handing it over. See,
the here's battlefield.
I'll tell you something now. I used to watch a bit of Joyce Meyer on the telly.
Okay.
Bless her. I don't listen or watch her these days. But I used to watch a bit of that, and I switched it on one day, and she was talking about forgiveness. We were talking
that's
now.
A big word.
Yeah, it's huge. And she was saying, she said, If there's unforgiveness in your life, the Lord can't move on with you if it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the Lord can't deal with that person if you're hanging onto it. I didn't think much of that.
No.
I came in that night, switched the telly on, God Channel. I was early days a Christian. And there she was again. But not only was she there again, but she was in exactly the same position saying about unforgiveness. Now,
really?
I thought, really, this is a message she's talking to me. Is there anyone I've got to forgive? And I asked the Holy Spirit, and he convicted me of there was stuff to do with my stepfather that I hadn't dealt with. So I went up to Suffolk to see him. He was a little bit shocked. And, I said, look, this stuff here, I didn't sort of go through it, but I said there's stuff I need to forgive you for. And he accepted the forgiveness, and I was able to forgive him. And, I told him I loved him, and he said he loved me, which was never done before.
Big stuff.
Never,
big
ever
stuff.
Done before. But the story gets as another turn to it, because I think that was in maybe the spring, but in the summer we get a phone call that he's got leukemia.
Okay.
And so I go back up there again.
Yeah.
And I see a very frightened man.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Of course.
And we sit in his conservatory and we talk. He obviously knows I'm a Christian, and we talk about the Lord. And I was able to lead him into a prayer of salvation. Where that took him, I'm not sure, but he said the prayer. Now, what I'm trying to say to that, why I say that, the only reason I bring that into the conversation is, if I had got rid of that unforgiveness, Yes. I would never be able to
The next step would never have happened.
So there's the journey. It's huge.
It's massive.
Unforgiveness is huge. For you as a person, yeah. A, to forgive that person, yeah. and then to forgive yourself.
And I was just about to say that. It's yourself.
It's so massive.
And then because we talk about forgiving the outside, the people on the outside of us, but then when we look on the inside of us, that we are not told to do at all in the world whatsoever, you know, the world don't talk about that whatsoever, does it? It is the Darwinistic approach.
Yeah.
Trample on, climb up the greasy pole, do what you got to do almost, you know, but done in a way that dresses it up very different. But that's what you see, isn't it? Like, trample on. But then you reach a point as a believer when you're forgiving people on the outside that have brought that. But then you've got to forgive yourself. And then that forgiveness turns to guilt. Guilt is festering.
There you're gone.
Because the way that I might have treated somebody,
yeah.
or I haven't dealt with a certain thing, and this keeps bringing itself back up like vomit almost. It's like...
And puke,
you know, it's leaving a bad taste in your mouth. It's like, I can't get rid of this taste.
And some people, they wallow in that.
They do.
Because it's a pity party for themselves, isn't it? I feel guilty. I want to feel guilty. I should feel guilty.
No.
You know, the Christ doesn't want you to feel all that.
He doesn't want you to feel guilty.
He wants you to let that stuff go. He's looking for freedom in you.
He's looking for freedom, and then... When we talk about forgiveness, we enter into that, still into that guilt thing, but men feel guilty for the way that they've lived, for actions that they've done, for going down the wrong path, for doing something that they shouldn't have done. And so there's a lot of things in people that no one else will ever know about. So they're trying to follow Christ, they're living for Jesus, and they're wrestling this stuff that's going on. And what we've got to remember is that three nails. It wasn't the three nails that kept him on that cross. You know, we understand about the power of the nail that was driven in. You know, I call them the three nails. Guilt, you know, unforgiveness, you know, and complete freedom. You know, that's what he died for. I got freedom.
Yeah.
I don't feel guilty, but I do feel guilty because the old man rises up. But I've got to understand that it wasn't the power of the nails. It wasn't the strength of the nails that kept him on the cross. It was the love.
It was the love.
The love that kept him on the cross.
See, that guilt can be the root cause of all sorts of things.
And it can fester, it can disappear, and then it can rise again.
It can
lay down.
It can lead to anger.
Yeah.
You're always a bitter, angry man. Yeah. Why? Because you feel churned inside. Guilty inside. You're never at peace. How can you never feel at peace?
Like,
it's not what Jesus wants. But it's what the enemy wants.
Yeah.
The enemy wants to keep you down and say to you, oh, did you really do that? Do you really think that? And he wants
and
to put
that guilt
on
you. And there's still tendencies to go down that path. The old man really ain't. You're not really saved. You're still thinking them faults.
How can you be saved? If you're going down that route.
You've gone down that road again. And you're trying to put the brakes on and going down that road, and you're almost gripping on with everything. I can't go down the road. God help me.
Why, my friends, you are still in the driving seat.
Yeah.
My advice is, get out of the driving seat.
Yeah.
Let Jesus get in and take over.
Come on, Lord.
Take over your life.
It's got to be about Jesus.
And it's got to be about the cross that you said.
Yeah.
Now, there's a certain... There's a certain denomination that when you see the cross, they've still got Jesus on the cross.
Mm. Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
It's an empty cross.
It's a symbol of freedom. Yeah. And Jesus should not be on that cross, should he?
He's risen. He's a risen king, a risen saviour, the Messiah. He's alive. You know, he's alive. He holds the keys to death and to life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But... You know, go back to the scripture. You've always got to go back to the scripture where the apostle says, a wretched man am I. So there is always, he was the greatest writer on planet Earth, and he had battles going on daily.
But he was in a great place. Because here's the thing, he thought nothing of himself.
No.
He thought nothing of himself.
So
to who men do you think you are? Who do you think you
who
are?
Do you, who do you think you are?
Man, you are nothing without Jesus Christ.
No, and it's good to examine yourself.
Yeah.
It's good to look within yourself, and the Holy Spirit brings you to conviction. And just because you're being brought to conviction doesn't mean to say that you are some dirty, horrible... You're dealing with it, and it might take a lifetime. It might take a year to deal with one thing. It might take 6 months. It might take 3 years. You might go through most three quarters of your life dealing and getting stuff dealt with. But, you know, we hear stories where men are, people are completely delivered and set free, but also we hear stories of men that are living for Christ all day but still battling.
Oh, mate, let me tell you, when I accepted Christ into my life, the lust for money left me, love of drink left me, I was a big drinker, and swearing left me.
Wow.
But I've got so many other areas that I need to find victory in.
Yeah.
You know, lust of the eyes, anger, that sort of stuff can creep up, and I have to hang on to Jesus very tightly.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
I find myself going off down that route, because you'll never defeat the flesh in the flesh. No,
you
have to defeat it in the spirit. That's the only way that you're going to defeat and get victory. But it's a daily, an hourly, sometimes minute by minute basis.
Yeah.
See, if there's a big tree out there, one chop of the axe ain't going to take that tree down. You've got to keep going and going and going.
You've got to be relentless.
And here's the thing, you know, the Bible says we need to take the thoughts captive, doesn't it?
Yes.
And the thing is, you know, you. You can know what you think. So you can allow those thoughts will come into your head, but you don't have to sit down and have a cup of tea with them, do you? You don't have to sit down and embrace them.
Yeah.
They'll come in.
They'll come in, but you've got to deal with the thought. You've got to deal with the thought, because then the thought festers it into action. Action festers into... pushes you into sin.
That's
sin
it.
Can
thoughts
take you
become
to,
actions. Actions yeah. become
so you got,
words.
There's
stunning.
Stages. You've got to take it out. And then some people go, even though you're born again, you still go down that slippery slope. Oh, God, I've done it again. I've done it again. But that is the power of the empty cross. He's forgiven us.
Oh, that's
there
totally.
Is nothing. Look, this absolutely.
There's no other religion, no other thing in the world that can give you that forgiveness.
And what we've got to remember is it's not over because I slipped back into that same puddle.
No.
It's not Kapishki. It's not over. It's not curtains. And then we come into repentance.
Do you remember
the power of repentance?
Do you remember Peter said to Jesus, he said, how many times have I got to forgive my brother?
How many times, Jesus? How many times?
Seven.
Seven?
He said 70 times seven, didn't he?
What? How many is that? What is that? Endless.
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 Then we come back to grace. But then grace gets abused, as in the way it's preached, the way it's taught, that grace covers everything.
So there's no repentance.
There's no repentance. So if there's no repentance, there's no need to pray, because grace has covered everything. And then suddenly I get put in this false atmosphere and false culture of church where repentance should be a daily thing. Because you can't go through life. You cannot... maybe there's really some really holy people out there who send me a message and go, do you know what? I go through life every day and not having a bad thought.
Well, I would say there were lies. There were lies.
Exactly. So the power of repentance is such a bringer to Christ again.
Hey, mate, that statement's prideful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never have a bad thought.
I never have a bad thought.
Really?
I never look at something I shouldn't look at. I never think of something in a certain... No, I do everything. I'm so super holy and righteous. Pride of life.
Yeah.
You've nailed yourself to that one, haven't you?
Got you.
It's got you. You know, I'm going through life and I'm saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, I love you so much. God, I'm tired. My eyes are tired. My ears are tired. I'm wrestling with this. I'm wrestling with that. But the power of repentance. You know, and that doesn't give us a license to go and go down the pole dancing club. You know what I mean? And go and have a get wasted because you're abusing,
and you don't understand what repentance is.
And you don't understand what it means.
Repentance is a turning away from
that
stuff.
That might be a lifelong experience. Well, but you know that you've got to turn away, and you're like, come, oh Lord, I'm moving, coming, Jesus. I can't do this without you. So there might be one prayer that you almost pray every day.
Daily prayer, help
me, guide me. Mm-hmm. Lord, keep me away from that environment where I could backtrack, I could backpedal, I could go back to picking up the nets at Galilee, I could go back fishing.
Listen, I've got a great mate who became a born again Christian,
yeah.
And he did what we were saying before. He ran off in his own
steam,
and he went down a pub. I'm going to tell these guys about Jesus. I'm going to tell them. By the seventh or eighth pint, he was on the floor, and they were all going, "Who's this? Who's born again?
Yeah.
He's on the deck. He's just like everyone else." No, don't put your head in the lion's mouth. Stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
Let people see Jesus Christ shining out of you. Then they'll be attracted to you. But don't go in because the enemy is waiting. The Bible says, doesn't it? I think it's in 2 Peter, 1 Peter, that the enemy strolls around like a roaring lion.
Yes, looking for someone to devour.
Looking for someone to devour. But if you stand firm against him, he'll back down because he's a bully. And he always overplays his hand.
That's right, yeah.
He always overplays his hand. He'll always get excited, think he's in there, think he's got you. But you stand firm. You stand firm, and that's why you've got to know your Bible.
Yeah.
Know the Word. If you stand firm on the Word, then it'll back away. But don't put yourself
into an environment.
Into an environment.
Where you know that your flesh is easily fed off that environment.
Yeah.
But then we're battling the lust of the flesh, the pull, the draw of the eyes, the draw of self.
You know, if you've got a cocaine problem, you don't go on holiday to Colombia, do you? Do you know what I mean?
I'm going for coffee.
that's the truth. If you've got a thing with lust and lust of the eyes, you don't, like you just said, you don't go to a pole dancing club, do you? And think you're going to be holier than thou. No, because you're pretty soon, you'll find out.
You'll find yourself, in trouble. It's there is always some battle to battle with, whatever it may be.
The thing is with men,
gambling, the online pornography.
But it's there,
the self-driven man, like where your family lift you up. Oh, look, he built this, built that. They've done this, they've done that. And you're elevated. Elevated. I find that the biggest thing where people are patting you on the back. A pat on the back can almost be like,
well, you've got to be careful with that.
You've got to be careful with a pat on the back.
So you're not sort of super humble. So you take the encouragement, but you give God the glory. And pride is a podcast that we will do probably next time, because pride is a huge problem. It's the sin that the Lord hates the most.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the enemy's sin. He was prideful.
Yeah.
And it's it creeps into every single aspect of our life without realizing it. And that's why we have to be crucified with Christ on a daily basis and give ourselves to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the way up is down with pride.
Yeah. It is. You get a pat on the back. Oh, great. And then suddenly every pat is building your flesh.
And all of a sudden you start believing in your own press cuttings.
Yeah,
you start believing in you.
Yeah. You believe in your Facebook friends.
I don't need...
You believe in the followers. You
I don't really need Christ for this, you know. And then suddenly Jesus becomes a little side act.
Yeah.
You know, he's suddenly, like a genie in a bottle.
That happens in the corporate world. That happens I understand that we've got to go to work. I understand all that. I understand about business. I get all that. I've been there, know it. Worn the T-shirt. I fully understand all that, how that works. But... There is something about humanity where we love a pat on the back.
I was doing one of these. I was leading one of these alpha courses down at HTB, and there was a co-leader there, very powerful woman, and she was a black lady. And I'll tell you the reason I mention that is because she was also a QC.
Okay.
Now, for a black woman to have raised through the ranks
at
that
fantastic
time, and she'd become a QC. She was an amazing woman.
Amazing.
And,
God bless her.
She, lovely lady. But she openly said, she said, I keep my work and my God stuff separate.
Okay.
So that set off alarm bells.
Yeah.
And, I went off and I spoke to the people that were leading the whole thing, and they dealt with this lady, and they put her in charge of the next alpha. They put her in charge of the children,
okay,
looking after the children on the alpha weekend. And when I next met her, their attitude was
different.
Oh, amazing. She was amazing. All that like barrier stuff. Because she's had to fight. This woman had had to
fight
everything all through her life.
Everything.
And I realise I understand that.
She fought.
So there was a barrier, and there was a barrier probably against guys as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there was a barrier there that you had to fight to even get through to her. But when the church recognised that and put her in a environment where there was some, she was looking after some lovely children, that barrier started to come down, and she was just
out.
I just saw Jesus shine out of her so much on that weekend. And you know, she was just a lovely lady, you know, but powerful woman, a real proper, QC. That's Queen's Counsel.
That's top.
Next stage is a judge, isn't it? So
next stage is sitting at the right hand of the Father, isn't it? Interceding for all that.
Yeah.
You know what? Following Jesus, it's a challenge, eh? I'm sorry, guys and girls. We got a couple of squeaky chairs in here today.
Yeah.
There's a few squeaks going on. A bit of rain outside, but you know, following Jesus is so powerful. So powerful. There's nothing finer in the world to be a disciple, a son or a daughter of the living Christ. You know, to follow Jesus, just to walk with him, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, there's nothing finer than walking with Jesus.
And the next bit of that, that psalm says, you lay a table
before me
in the presence of my
enemies.
So if you're hanging on to your enemies, the Lord can't he deal with it?
That's right. And what we got to understand is that when I become a follower of Christ through the Spirit of God will open my eyes to see who's for me and against me. Now that is shocking when you start to see the ones maybe in your own house, in your business, in your culture, in your lifestyle, may not always be for you.
They may not always be for you, or there may be just be people that the Lord wants out of your life, because he'll take them out. And don't chase them after them, because if the Lord's taken them out, he's taken them out for a reason.
And that can be very difficult to come to terms with.
And it can be difficult for the other people too.
Because you suddenly you became a born-again believer, and then suddenly your whole world has changed. People are being removed. Maybe you're trying to hang on to the past as well. Because it's what you're familiar with. It's like the Israelites when they got 50-50 out into the wasteland, and they said, "We'd rather go back, Moses. We'd rather go back to the old ways. We know about this God, but what we see is better than what we feel." Now, we've got to be careful with what we see, because what we see isn't always what God wants for us. God wanted them free. But to leave your past and to go into a place that you've never been before, and maybe leave people behind, leave work behind, leave this, leave that behind, you know, that is where we come into the area of the New Testament where the Bible says that he is a vine dresser. He needs to strip stuff away from you.
Strip stuff away,
That is dead stuff.
Yeah.
But why do we hold on to dead stuff? We hold on to our past. We hold on to things because everything is done by sight. This world is all about sight. But the Bible says that we should not live by sight.
Yeah, and it's all about what we believe perceive. There's an example in the Bible which somebody rang me up and gave me this a couple of years ago. Abraham was in the Bible, and he had two sons, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had Ishmael by his servant woman Hagar.
Yeah.
And he had Isaac.
Isaac.
By Sarah. Yeah. So, what Abraham had to do, and he didn't want to do it. He had to say goodbye to Ishmael and Hagar, because God said the blessings on Isaac. So there's certain things in our lives and there's certain people in our lives that we have to say goodbye to.
Oh, God.
Because the blessing is over there.
The blessing is over there.
Hold on a minute.
But his flesh has been over there.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Lord, I've just built up that ministry.
I've just built that up. I've just built
that
lifestyle.
I've done that. Well, he's saying, God's saying, yeah, well, you carry on and that'll be okay. But the blessing is over there. That's where I want you. Unknown territory.
You'll get through. A new beginning. But you won't really get through. A new start.
Yeah.
And leaving the old and leaving people, leaving things, leaving stuff, leaving that has been around us for so long. We've got so used to with that. I've got to leave that. But it's so visual.
Now
I'm going into the unknown territory.
Unknown territory.
I've never been this way before. So I'm going by faith.
Now be very careful about these decisions.
Yeah.
Right? Get them tested. Test. Speak to the Council of the Saints, which are other Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Test it by Scripture. Test it by the Holy Spirit. Because I've been to places I met this woman once, absolutely on the Alpha, you know, stunning looking woman. And I heard a voice in my head saying, you're going to be with her. Now, if I'd have followed that, I would have left my wife, left my children. It would have been a complete car crash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the Lord said that to me, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
The Lord ain't never going to tell you to leave your missy. He ain't going to tell you anything like that.
No.
So be careful.
Be very careful.
And test these things out.
Test it.
And if the Lord's continually saying, this is the way to go. Common sense will tell you, you know, he's not going to tell you to leave your wife.
No.
He's not going to tell you to suddenly leave your job, sell all your belongings and take off and to make
products
in Africa.
No. It takes time and press and it takes faith.
And it takes, see, here's the thing.
Time.
All this stuff is not, it's not difficult. It's not complicated, I would say. Mm. It can be difficult, but it's not complicated. Because what the Lord's saying is, get to know me, get to know my word, get to know my son.
Yeah.
And then you'll understand my voice. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So you'll understand, this is a voice from the Lord. And you'll understand when a voice comes in, because the other voice won't be quite so...
So we find ourselves making decisions through the flesh.
Yeah.
We find ourselves down a cul-de-sac that is a flesh decision, even though we are born again, filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm down a cul-de-sac. Now, I'm almost too far down that cul-de-sac to retreat. So, God, you've got to make a way, because I've made a mistake and I can't seem to get myself out of this because... I don't know how to get out of it.
I don't know. I've
created an environment for me that is, whatever way I'm going to go, is going to look crazy. So, Lord, I need your guidance. I need your counsel.
I'm falling down that slimy pit.
Over in that corner, I've made a wrong decision there.
Yeah.
To my left of me, I've got another one going on over there. Behind me, I've got that. I've done a silly thing there. And then, so around me, I've got all this stuff going on. But help me walk the narrow path.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help me go through the valley. Guide me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to lay the old man down there in that cul-de-sac. Lord, in that corner over there, help me to lay this down. Help me to lay that addiction. Lord, help me. It's a journey. Life is a journey.
But do you
we're
going to
make decisions that are going to be completely balmy.
It's exciting. It's an exciting journey. And you end up becoming a dangerous Christian, an exciting Christian.
You can.
Because you're listening to the word of God, listening to what he's saying, and suddenly you're understanding what he's saying. You're listening to his voice.
Oh.
But if you're not seriously not giving time to God, as we said before, you know, you will find me if you seek with all your heart. If you're not giving your heart, if you're not doing any of that stuff, then you're not going to hear from God, are you? And God's saying, I'm trying to talk to you, but there's all the other stuff in the way. And then you're hearing a voice, and it's not God's.
And you think, hang on a minute, I reacted, I moved on that voice.
I moved on that voice.
Yeah. And there will be untold of amount of people, us, whoever we are, that have moved on the voice, thought it was the voice, when actually it wasn't the voice, but we've reacted to that.
Yeah.
Now I'm in that. God, I made a mistake. And it won't disappear overnight. It will take prayer. It will take time. It will take healing. It will take courage. It will take strength. And say, God, I've made a mistake, please.
That's why...
Get me out of this environment without any more damage limitation.
Yeah.
And bring me to the cross.
Yeah. And that's why... in the real men for Christ, we say, get a couple of fellas round you that can disciple
you. That you're safe in.
That you're safe in. Get an environment that you're safe in.
Seek godly counsel.
Seek godly counsel. Yeah. And bounce things off proper, sensible. Yeah. And that's called discipleship. So do just some discipleship, fellowship with a couple of fellas. And, you know, they'll put you on the right track.
Just be open. Be open. You know, God will put people in your life to help you for a season.
And that's a good point. That's a great point, Ben.
People come and go.
Come and go, yeah.
Because it's seasonal. Stuff is seasonal. Summer, spring, winter, autumn. It is seasonal. Our journey is seasonal. You know, there are days when the sun is really bright and everything's okay. Then suddenly the winter season approaches us where everything seems dark and heavy.
And here's the deal. You've got your path to run. That's right. Your journey to walk.
Yeah.
And you just put your head down, follow Jesus behind the shield of faith, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
Walk with him, follow him, not looking to the left or the
right. Don't look to the left or the right, because you'll find where your eyes go, your body's going to follow it.
It doesn't matter what he's doing over there. It don't matter what he's doing over there. It doesn't matter, you know, that the Lord's raised this guy up over
there. That's right.
It don't matter.
It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Keep your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith.
Yes.
That is the key.
Is
the key, because if I keep my eyes on him, see, eyes are everything, aren't they? Your eyes are everything. They are your sat nav. They are. So I've got to keep my eyes on the author. Christ.
What's it saying here? Look, in Colossians, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Seek those things
are above. It's above this earthly plateau, you know. Because if I keep my eyes fixed on what the world is doing, I'll be everywhere doing. Oh God, I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus.
Do you know
keep my eyes on Jesus.
I've spent a lot of time holidaying in Florida.
Are you in the prosperity gospel now? give me.
I got some Air Miles and Sun vouchers, you know. But no, I spent a lot of time holidaying over there.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time walking along some amazing beaches, you know.
At the time of year, a time of day
when there's not many people about.
Yeah.
But you can be walking down the beach, amazing, beautiful white sand, looking out to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah,
there's
beautiful
dolphins, you know,
absolutely
stunning.
Idyllic, beautiful.
And then you've got two people walking towards you, looking down at the sand, talking, not even seeing what's around.
Not looking at the environment.
Not looking at the environment or the beauty that God has made.
That's right. Walking on the same pathway.
And it's pretty much the same as a Christian in life, isn't it? Yeah. If you're looking down and walking like that, you're never going to put your head up and see the amazing stuff that God's got for you.
That's right. Agreed. Completely agreed. Completely agree. So scriptural.
So he says here, you know, keep your things, seek those things that are above.
Yeah.
Keep your head up.
Yeah.
Keep a straight back, straight. Keep your face like flint and just keep... Keep it behind Jesus and keep following.
Oh, God, give me strength.
You know, my other mate, I've got a great mate, Renton Baker, who's a great mate of mine, and he does some, he's works on the tools, and he's a foreman on a building site, does some great evangelising down there. God, but when he first became a Christian, he went over to, I think, Tanzania. And you know, took his out, built some buildings over there using his.
Yeah, fantastic.
He came back, he said to his wife, he said, Wendy, he said, we're going to Tanzania, we're going to be missionaries, we're going to build huts and stuff. And she goes, I don't want to be a missionary, I don't want to go to Tanzania. You know, what he was doing was running before the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happens.
It looked good. It felt good.
It felt good, yeah.
And you will get that when you're doing things for. It will look. But. Just because you're doing something at that particular point doesn't mean to say that that is going to be the be-all and the end-all of your Christian walk.
And never,
that was a season.
Never run before the Lord.
No. Do you know what, Simon? I've done so much of that. I've run.
Oh, me too.
You know what? I'm a sprinter for Jesus, and I exhaust myself.
And because the Lord's not obliged to finish anything he don't start.
Exactly.
So, you know, you turn around and think, Lord, where are you? Why haven't you... It's not the path you have to come back.
That's right.
You can spend, you know, I've spent hundreds of pounds on stuff. I thought, this is going to be great. This is going to be great for the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. And it's
just sitting there, moth, never used.
Moth and rust destroyed.
Got to throw it down
the dump. But Lord, I thought it was you.
No.
Gabriel Michael must wake up every morning. They don't wake up, do they? They must see me wake up in the morning and go, uh-oh, Ben's out of the blocks. We've got to tidy his mess up today. But what's he going to do?
Here's the deal. Now, you
he's
know,
a sprinter.
I want to mention this, and I want to bring it out to any listeners that are here today, because on a previous podcast, Ben said that he was going to get rid of all the literature in the church that wasn't to do with the Bible.
Yeah.
And I've walked in here today in the home of truth, Ealing Swanley, the sun shining through, glistening off the swimming pool, and all the literature's gone.
It's gone.
We've just got Bibles and a few good testimony newspapers that are floating around. That's all we need.
Just need
that's
the Bible.
All we need. The Bible, the Word of God.
And so many times people have said, what have you got I can read? And I've rummaged around for leaflets and booklets written by man, and I've left the Word of God off.
Yeah.
But now I just give the Bible out. Read the greatest book in the world.
We said it. We said it before, didn't we? We was having a laugh. In you know, a guy. There's so many schemes and plans. God's got one plan.
Got one plan.
He's had it for 2,000 years.
Yes,
which is his son Jesus Christ. It's not changed. It's the gospel.
Yeah.
Right. So the man rushes up. He said, "Lord, look at me. I'm desperate. All things going to crazy. My life's a train wreck. I've tried everything. I just need something." You don't put your arm around him and say, "Well, you need to go to this curry night, or you need to go to this breakfast. You need to do that."
Yeah.
No, you give him Jesus and you give him a New Testament and say, "Start reading the Gospels.
Read the Gospel.
And let's sort it out right now, because there's only one thing that's going to fill that hole that you're searching for, and that is Jesus Christ.
And it's only
and you're going to find that."
Yeah.
In the Bible.
In the Bible.
You ain't going to find that in
this other book.
You find it in the book.
In the Word.
In the Word.
In the beginning was the Word. You know,
and it's still there.
It's still the same. Simon, guess what? We've run out of time again.
You're joking.
No, I'm not, honestly.
Honestly, I'm just getting going. We were just getting started.
I know, but look, we have just really pressed in today. It's been so good to have you with us again. We'll catch you in a week or so's time. Come on, will you lead us in a prayer? Will you finish this off with a prayer?
Yeah, we want to pray for anyone out there who's been who's struggling, anybody's listening who's a Christian or not a Christian, who's struggling with stuff in their life.
Yeah.
And we're going to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into your life. And here's the thing. If you're a Christian out there and you know that you're a sinner like what me and Ben are, maybe you want to reaffirm your faith today.
Thank
maybe
you,
this is a day that you say, right, I want to wipe the slate clean. I want to get back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or if this is the first time you've heard this message and go and think, you know, in between all the banter, these guys are saying something that's really touched my heart. Then say this prayer in your heart, and the end will say amen. Now, we've got to say a prayer inviting Jesus Christ into our lives.
And Thank you, Lord.
And so it's a simple prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me for all the stuff that I'm doing. Forgive me for the journey I'm taking, for the paths I've taken which are not of you.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive me for all the unforgiveness and stuff that I'm hanging on to. Father, today is the day where I hand it all over to you. Today is the day when I start to walk again and be born again with you, because I'll hand it all over to you. I ask for your forgiveness. I turn away from this stuff.
Yes,
and I invite your Son, Jesus Christ, into my life today to be my
today,
Lord and Saviour, to walk with me, to show me, and for me to follow him, to lead me to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Simon. We are so blessed to have you with us today. You know, and thank you for everyone listening, sharing everything that goes out. Please push this out wherever you may be. You've been listening to Simon Pinchbeck and myself here in Elim Church in Swanley. We'll catch you very soon. Keep in the Word of God.
Have you got that timetable, Ben, for the buses?
Your Bentley's gone.
Yeah.
Your Bentley's gone. I'll give you a lift to the train station. God bless, my
God
friends.
God bless you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care, everybody.
Amen.
Stay in the Word of God
Bye.
And stay under the blood of Jesus. God
Amen.
Bless.
Good.
Thank you.